you to stand with me for a minute, and I'll read just a little bit. The book of Esther, beginning in the first verse of the seventh chapter, and see if we can tie some thoughts together this morning. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther, the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee? And what is thy request, and it shall be performed, even the head of the kingdom?" Then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage." Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, "Who is he, and where is he, that does presume in his heart to do so?" And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is the sweet baby." Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he force the queen also before me in the house?" As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Haman, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. You can be seen. I'd like for you to notice something this morning. In speaking to you from the book of Esther, I think that most everybody is acquainted with the fact that this woman was one of the greatest women of Bible times, and that on this occasion where she went to make her petition known to the king, on her first approach that she was fasting and had been praying before God. She did not dare to go into the presence of the king unless it was a move of God, because he could have had her life fought. And some of you remember the previous queen, how that she had disobeyed the king and would not perform in the presence of those that he desired for her to perform in, and it made him angry, and he cut her off and done away with her, in that they said, "O king, if this woman continues, said that all the women of the kingdom will come to sleep, and they won't obey their husbands anymore." In that she is the first lady, she sets the example. I wish that I could say, Brother Taylor, that in the day that we're living in, that our first lady would be as conscientious as this first lady was here in the Bible. I'm afraid that our king today is not as conscientious as the king of that time. Our first lady has really acted up and made a mess out of things. I think Jackie Kennedy, and I don't mean any accusations against anybody, but I think Jackie Kennedy, as being the first lady that we had, made one of the biggest, sloppiest messes of anybody that I've ever seen to be a first lady to represent our nation. Not only did she make a mess here in the United States, but she traveled all over the world in different places with her product, and she made one big mess, and it's been one big scandal that has caused our nation to fall down before the people as that which is corrupt. And I believe in my heart that if we had leaders today like we had in the days of Washington and the days of Lincoln, and even as it was in the days when these to the very lowest level, and even the energy crisis that we are acquainted with at this particular moment, I am persuaded to believe that this energy crisis is only typical of the fact that God spiritually is withdrawing from America. That she's losing her spiritual sources of life because of her gluttonous appetite of evil, and God is bringing her down to a low level. Now, I'm thankful because we do have certain places in the Bible where that king stood for what was right, and where women of old also stood for what is right. And because they took a stand for what is right, then we have a biblical example or something typical of what we ought to be today. In Paul tells us in his writing to the thing that happened to Israel, happened to Israel in part. And they were blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles would come in. But it was also pointed out that it happened for our example and our admonition, we, who the kings of the world come along. And so then it is a true fact that God has left us without excuse. The Bible said even the heavens doth declare the happy work of God. And we are without excuse before God. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter the attitude or the outlook that we take. God isn't going to listen to any of our reasons. God isn't going to accept any of our attitudes except it be a Christ-like attitude. Because God has concluded both Jew and Gentile and the entire world in sin and in unbelief, and He has determined righteousness not by the act of individuality but by the act of Calvary, and today there is no righteousness except by Calvary and by the act of God Himself. Therefore, God can look upon every generation, every race of people, and every nationality of people in the same light or perspective. So then, it is a true fact that righteousness does exalt a nation, but its sin is a reproach to many people. And America has been reproached, and now she is being abased in the eyes of people. Now we can go around and say, God bless America. And I wish God would bless America. I really wish God would bless America. And we can talk about America, how great America is, and what a God-fearing nation she is. But it is not true, because America is not a God-fearing nation. Neither is America a righteous nation. America is an abased nation of debauchery and evil, and there's not a nation on the face of the earth as wretched as America is. She's the most wretched nation in the world. Somebody said, love America or leave America. That's what I did. I took a long shot there. I'm glad we're in heavenly places this morning. I'm glad I took a lot to live with a soul. I wanted to live without. And that's exactly what we're doing out here right now, trying our best to get out of the mess that America is making. So I pray to God this morning, not for America, but for the saints of God, that they'll help the standards of godliness in America down through the years. I feel like they've given the glory of God to Santa Claus. And they've given the glory of God to the American flag. They don't even pay the honor and tribute to God as they do to the flag. I was over in Fort Knox, Kentucky here just ain't been too long ago. And that one was sitting outside. It came time for them to lay the taps. And while I was out there, I noticed that as they rolled down the street, that they jump out of the car, stop right in the middle of the street, break the law or anything. Just stop right in the middle of the street. Jump out of the side of the automobile and turn towards the flag and throw up their head, stand there like a frozen mummy. I said, after they had lowered the American flag and don't have a bit of respect for God, God's people, and God alone. It's a bunch of paganistic practices is what it is. It's absolutely paganistic to do that to the flag. It's wrong. Oh, I know we'll get some of these patriarchal proselytes and hypocrites that don't hardly know their right hand from their left, and they'll come against you. But it's a paganistic thing to do that. Why don't we pay our tribute to God? God is our Savior. God is our God. Not a flag, not a shadow. so many years ago, I remember how the mistake was made by some scientific research that America was going to heal thanks to the naked educator. Even with the educational facilities which they felt like this was making her civilized. And even with all of that, they said she's still going paganistic faster than the naked educator. But I want you to know something, my brother. Your educational system is rotten. Your government is rotten. Your people are rotten. Amen. God took the birth. Somebody said, well, we're going to the same heaven. We all go to a different church. We love the same God. We're going to the same heaven. That's a lie. I said, that's a lie. The Baptists say, give me your arm. The Pentecostals say, give me your arm. And the Catholics say, give me your arm. So we can all go together. Go where together? Go to hell together. I'm not interested in it. All of you children like God didn't call you children like you never crossed by every hypocrite. The Bible says, not walk in prejudice, but walk in the light of God's Word. We need to love one another. And we need not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the Bible says, all that is out of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the world and the lust thou passed away. But he that doeth the will of God, he will abide forever. He will abide forever. So then, I am not interested in America. I want everybody to know that. I am not interested in America. I am no more interested in America than I am in Germany or Japan or anybody else. God never called me to get interested in some nation. He called me to preach the gospel to his people and to tell them God so of the world, not America, that he wanted to redeem the world and everybody, whether they're black or whether they're white or whether they're yellow or whether they're red. He didn't call me to get mixed up in the spill. Mess of racial discrimination. When I say that, I mean the black man just as guilty as the white man. All of them are in the hot pen. All of them need to get straightened out and get out. This silly, messy mess of somebody blaming the Negro people saying we're under privilege. Negro people are not under privilege. Got everything that heart can wish for. I can remember when I was a little boy back on the farm. Out there when we had men who worked out there on the farm with us. We had a big plantation. And some of those people were underprivileged. Not on our farm, because we loved and worked with them. But this bunch of beatniks that we got today, they're underprivileged. No more than a bunch of people that we got that call themselves beatniks among the compassion race. Ain't nobody underprivileged in this stuff. Now they turned the world into a hot pen. And I'm not sent to pet one race or pet another race. But a fine fault with one race and fine fault with another. Now, I'm not sent to pet one brother and kill another brother or pat some proselyte or hypocrite on the back. I believe that the gospel is wrong. I believe we're going to have to preach the gospel. We're going to have to forget about loving America. Loving Germany. I'm sure that the Germans stand and do the same thing to the flag, and to them, Germany is just as loving as anybody else. Still a bunch of teenagers running from school to school. Rah, 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 rah. Half naked, hollering for some kind of team that they call, name after some kind of beast. A bunch of reprobates. Bastard children. Amen. You know what's wrong with them? Somebody said, well, they're to blame. Now the Bible said, because the parents eat sour grapes, the children's teeth are all inches. That's what God said. If the parents eat the right kind of grapes and stay with the right kind of vine, then their children would have. So that I thank God for Esther. Esther was a real woman. Not like some of these women we got today that try to put her dress and tie around her every time she walks down the street and there's 35 people who's followed her. That's right. Not one to go to that with a pocket body pushed out here like a milk cow. Not like we got handsome men back there. Not like some of the rotten policemen in the day. And say, well, everything's all right. People just showing off a little bit, jumping out of parachutes without any clothes on. something. I might not get that high this morning, but I can make an effort anyway. Hallelujah. What else did he tell them? To tell my people of their sin. He said they act like a nation that done what I told them to do. He said they can lie and approach God, they even just fast and just pray. He said, but they sin. They sin. Let me tell you some people. I tell you this because my congregation is black and white and yellow and red and north and southern, Texans and everything else. Spanish, I tell you this in the name of the Lord. We are people that are supposed to have a brotherhood to love one another. Get back still and do it, I love it. Get away from it. I don't give you who you are. I'm not going to pinch you. I don't give you white or black or blue or yellow, whatever you are. You need to come out and do that silly thing. You say, well, bless God, I'll pack my duds and leave. You better go home and get your suitcase because you're running late. Praise God, I didn't send you in here. God sent you in here. You can be assured of one thing. If God sent you in here, you start flying fence and he'll crop your knees right quick. You won't take long for him to clip your knees and cause you to stay where you're supposed to be. I wouldn't do nothing to hurt you. I really love you from the heart. You can shield all the things. But folks, we need some folks like Esther. I bet we need some kings like our Ahasuerus. Amen. Remember when that queen Esther came? She came before God. She never went out there to put a petition before the God until she went to God. It's not our congressmen to go to God before they go to the president to get some bills passed. Or the president would go to God before he comes. Broad Gate Nighting Show. Stripped me in white down and turned me into a striptease. Because they got a PhD and a bunch of fools like us. My rank is like slop. That's what it is. Instead of going to God and getting straight back. Man, I ain't got no business put his hands on him. I don't like a woman put her hands on me. I'll be honest with you. How long have you done that? In case some of you don't understand it, don't put your hands on me. I don't like to shake hands with you. Then if you leave out, finish shaking hands. A woman shall come up, stick her hand out beside the mountain. Hello! Stick her hand out there. She ought to be home somewhere, cleaned up, straightened out. Somebody said, you ain't never seen that. Yes, I have seen that. I have to cut my door, stick the foot of the door, so I went to the door. Cigarette hanging in the spine like that. Fresh strip down here, telling me what they thought. I said, I don't care what you think, I'm interested in it. Devils, demons, corrupt people. I love my sisters, but I love them all purely. I don't want devils and demons crawling all over me. There's some people that are so driven by the sexual part of life, we're going to go and keep going and pray. Violating every law that God ever gives, if they dip every good model into the hot pins, I think what we need to do is forget about America, forget about charity, and forget about everything but God. Forget about your race. That stinks in the nostrils of God. It stinks in my nostrils too. Come around your word about your race. I wish you'd go somewhere else. That's all I'm interested in your race. I'm interested in your rights. Leon is seeing people's rights. Listen and say, I've got to have my right. The woman say, you ain't treating me right. The man say, you ain't treating me right. And the little kid that ain't got any short pants, you ain't treating me right. Every race hollering, you ain't treating me right. I bring God and treat me. I'm starting to need to put us all in hell. Treat us right. That's what we ought to. That's what we ought to have for all reason. But through the grace of God and through Calvary, God's kept us out. This evil world is planned. Our doom and planned our funeral. Got everything set up so that they can stamp us out and kill us out like they did the children of Israel. I want you to know that God's going to hang them on the long noose just like he did Haman. Haman cutting and crackling. He planned that plan just right. But when the time came, God hung him on his own loose. Some of you laid a nice, neat little trap for the preachers and for the church, and God taught you in your own loose. Now, just like I talked to him up yonder about my son, I said, I don't see why you keep tearing my son loose. I don't see why you got to put him behind bars. And really, truly, I don't see why some of our children are behind bars. I've said this many times, and I still say it. When they get out here and they lie some whiskey sellers and give the police to protect those evil devils that stand behind those bars. And then every time our kid gets a little bit of liquor, even being a kid, not knowing what to do, the police run down and grab him, sticks him in jail, and soaks his daddy's for every dollar he does. It's a low-down, rotten, filthy shit. Police lay around like snakes in the grass. They don't go after the people they ought to go after. They prey on the innocent. Ladies, like a big, fat, floppy bug. You take an eagle, he don't mind doing a little work. He might have something new. I've seen an eagle in flight. The actor rabbit, he'd be trying to get tremendous speed. And the hot blade in the sun to get that new meat. But an old bug, he's so floppy and lazy. If he ever gets a stinky smell, he'll circle and circle and circle. I'm going to go down there and steal his belly with a slop. Mind this, some of the churches, they give them the money in the treasury. They circle around like a bunch of buzzards. Every time the Lord get on this thing, offering. Every time we put out a piece of literature, this fellow says it, this fellow that says it, that fellow that says it, this fellow that knows how to do it. And the first issue, you can't help nobody. You can't do nothing. I praise God for the fact that we set up as an uncapitalistic or an unprofit world. The world, we can't do that. Amen. We can't get enough in the pot for anybody to start working. Amen. If us get discouraged, leave. You can't keep nothing but eagles on here but that work for a living. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I don't mean to sound rude. Yet Paul said we ought to rude in speech and not in heart. I believe this from my heart. They told me to send me the wife and can't let your son out. Said the book has got to be clear. Said there's an army rule in Revelation that if anything comes against a person in the charge of this thing, it's on the record. And said being on the record said we cannot take it off. Said it has to be legally and lawfully cleared from the books. And then once it's legally and lawfully cleared from the books, then your son's free. And everything's gone. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And I thought that's the way it is with God. In other words, we let things get on the book. We'll do something Sunday. When the Bible tells us not to get away from the devil, we go ahead and do it anyway. And if the first thing you know, Brother Zell, it's got on the book. And if it's on the books, we have to take it off the book. And if God has to bring us into judgment, Satan will say, you know it's on the book. You know it's on the book. And say, get on the book. But if that justin Bible judge is sitting on that seat of mercy can stand up, and when he comes up, our defense attorney can step up and King Jesus can say, sir, it's under the blood. Have to be chastened of God that we be not condemned with the world. If we don't get it off the books by some little punishment or something here, then my brother, we've got to stand before God. And I thought about these books. Here the Bible said that God would not let the king rest. He tossed and he trembled. And he couldn't rest. He got up in the middle of the night. There was no sleep to sleep with something. And he got up. Why? Because those people that belonged to God, the Jews, they were being persecuted. Their lives were hanging in the balance. And God said to take Jacob, you touch the apple of my eye. And then the lies were weighing the balance. And all the more in time. Lord, God's people. That he wanted to do something for them. And he was calling out to God. Calling out to God, saying, God, you see what the speaker of heaven is about to do. And the heavens and the decree has gone out to all the world to kill all the Jews. And said, God, you got the heavens. In the old king, he tried to sleep, but the angel of the Lord was shaking. He turned over, tried to sleep, the angel of God was shaking. And he cried and stopped, it wasn't nothing to do but get up. And a voice whispered in his ear, said, go get the books. Show him no lady, he got the books. And he began to turn, began to look in the books. And angel of God came across and looked something. And that little something in the books was where Mordecai had saved the life of the king. When the king had been attacked, then Mordecai had done some good deed and had gone on the books. And the old king began to look. And he began to ponder. And then he began to make a question. He said, now tell him, had anybody done anything for this man? Had anybody rewarded him for what he's done to the king? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, God may chase us. And God may give us a hard heart. Let's say he gives us a hard way to go. But brother, if we do good, God will reward us just like he chases us. Hallelujah. And he delights God. The Bible says, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the king. Is that right? God wants to give the king. So when he started on the books, he said, what's been done? Well, old Haman, he thought surely he was talking about him. Haman thought, now who could he talk about with me? And so the old king said to Haman, said, what do you think we ought to do to the land? That's done good to the king. Haman thought, nobody could, that could be over with me. You know, people get to feeling like they're your right hand man. And they think, well, that couldn't be nobody with me. But you'd be surprised out of God's words. And so Haman said, well, y'all just maybe put a crown on his head, send him a white horse, give him your robe, just stick him up in every way to make everybody bow down to him, O king. So that's what y'all did. He thought sure he was talking about him. The old king said, this is good. So they want to give a big banquet. Want to make a gallows, have everything just right for Mordecai. Because he was going to make a request to hang him there. You know why? Because Mordecai wouldn't do opposites to the hypocrite. That's why. He was a big, big celebrity, a big dignitary. And he was a hypocrite. And Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. Y'all God in the man. Shall he bow into it? He was just a big hypocrite. When the time came, he had everything planned. God killed him to get him out of town. Because everybody else bowed into him, but not Mordecai. Show him the time of his life, then here comes the banquet. But just before this, Sister Esther had already been communing with God. That's right, Mordecai said, Esther, let me tell you something. Said, you might be queen, but remember you're a Jew. And said, it won't be long, said, if they kill out the rest of the Jews, queen or no queen, they'll kill you out. They'll work something out. That really shook Esther up. Sometimes you have to get a man shook up to see that his hide is in trouble before you ever help to work with God. That's right. He'll run off and feather his own with this, but won't give a helping hand to God. But when he sees his hide is in trouble, and then he'll do it. And so here Esther was, she saw that she was in trouble. And so she said, well now, Mordecai said, you know, he can take a lot. He said, I'll walk in the court. And he don't hold out a scepter to me, said he'd take a lot. So then said, we'll pray. Okay, so we'll thank. So Esther said, don't let nobody eat now. Let's all go and faint. And make her get his fast. And the Lord made that woman so beautiful. Some of you cosmetic counties, if you leave all that mess alone and go to God, the Bible said God beautified the meek with salvation. He made that woman so loving that the king breath. He couldn't even hardly keep the breath when she walked in front of him. I believe when Queen Esther walked out there, I remember this from my heart. When she walked out there, I believe she looked like some beautiful angel, and that man's eyes just fell like this. And he thought, my husband, what is that? And she was so breathtaking till the old king dead and said, Rock, we keep looking for a conversation. He won't talk with her. He won't let her know. He's going to pray and turn with her. He said, lady, you just tell me what you want, so I'll advise my king. How about that? 3 days made without food, still so pretty. Walking through that. And there she was. The king says, you just tell me what you want. So she just told him at a time appointment, she let him do it. She let him know. Said she'd like to have a banquet. Zoe got the banquet ready. And the Bible said when everything was ready, she invited him. And she invited Mordecai. And she invited the different ones around that she wanted to. And when the time came, the Bible tells that old Haman, he thought everything was just right. Being bitter at Mordecai, he went into the presence of the king. Oh, he thought he was going to be arrayed in the garment of beauty, and everybody was going to have to bow down to him. He didn't know that he planned the whole banquet just for Mordecai and for Esther. And the Bible said that here he came in. And when he came in, he stood there, thinking all this great thing was going to take place in his life. But see, God had to clear the books. There was something on the books, whether it was good or whether it was bad. The books had to be cleared. And it just so happened that Haman got something on his record that couldn't be cleared. But Mordecai got something on his record that was good, that could be cleared. You know, a blessing from the king. And the Bible said that as he came forward, the king said, Esther said, tell me what you want. Just tell me what you want. Said, I'll give you anything that you ask for. Brother, tell me this one thing about it. When we're adorned with the Holy Ghost, and we're filled with the blessings of God and the Spirit of God, and we walk before Christ Jesus, we are irresistible. He can't sell it to us. Hallelujah. When God sees the blood of his own Son, he can't keep away from us. We're irresistible. And we walk before that great prince of all the earth, the Prince of Peace, and he takes one look and he says, that's my wife. Hallelujah! Glory to God, that's my wife. Amen. Some of these showmen and hypocrites that's running across the country with big tents, treating God's people like a bunch of pigs and shoving around doing any work. Woe be unto you. Woe be unto you. I'll tell you, if a man went around manhandling my wife, I'll tell you one thing. I believe God helped me, but I sure have to say, Lord, keep me sanctified. That's right. That's the one thing close to my heart, my wife and my children. I believe you give me grace, but you have to give me grace. And brother, when you manhandle the wife of Jesus Christ and you put spots and blemishes on her, life of other people. One day there's going to be a change. They sang that song, "Let our little change take your life." One day, God's going to make a change. The Bible said, the book had declared, the old king couldn't sleep, so he had to see what was going on. He made the plans and found it written in the book that something had to be done to Mordecai. And Esther was right there to see that it was carried out real good, too. To see that everything was just right, because Mordecai had loved her. And Mordecai had raised her from a little girl. And she was right there to see that everything was going to be taken out to the very best. And the Bible said when she went up there before that king, and he said, "Esther," said, "just tell me what you want me to do." Esther said, "There's one thing I want you to do." Said, "My people out yonder," and said, "they're under the sentence of death." And said, "they've got to have some help." So there's nobody helping. Said, "they're helpless. They're my people, king. You're one of me, but them are my people." And the sentence of death came over the head, and we haven't got anybody to help us. And the king said, "I'd like to know who caused this. I'd like to know who's responsible for it. Who's the one that's done these?" And King Esther said, "the wicked man called Haman." The Bible said, "Oh, Haman went over there and fell down on his knees and Esther to plead mercy." And that upset the king even more. Said he felt like he was trying to force the queen right there before the king. And that really set the shrag on fire. God let that happen to really set the wrath of the king on fire. And he told him, said, the same noose that he prepared for Mordecai, said, "take it out there and hang him on. Hang him on. Hang him on." Some of you people have prepared a neat little trap for your neighbor. A neat little trap for your fellow man. A neat little trap for the preacher. But some of you have fallen into your own trap. And you've got hung on your own noose. We've got some people around here that's all they do is mumble and grumble. They make me so sick I can't understand it sometimes. It's no wonder God said I vomited them out of my mouth. Amen. It's no wonder that God said it was a bunch of people. He said that my tables are filled with fire. He said all the tables of God are filled with the fire. Amen. The Baptist table, the Methodist table, and all the other tables. Said they're all filled with fire. And he said it makes me sick in my stomach. And I'll spew it out of my mouth. A bunch of lukewarm people. And somebody comes and says, "did you know that brother so-and-so done so-and-so believe?" "Oh, don't you know what brother so-and-so done? And sister so-and-so is so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. What is you got a big mouth filled with devils and demons? And all you can do is just spew off the mouth and need somebody to strike you out and catch the devil out of you." Finding fault of us, I found that you've been leaking your own body, and you're the hot pin, not the others. You're the one that's been the hot pin. Like old Haman, you're trying to prepare a gallows. It proves that the devil stopped you. The Bible said, "love one another." Some people, "well, I just don't see how you love him. I don't see how you can't eat. Anybody full of devils can't love nobody. If you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you can love him. If they put the nails in your hand, you can still love him." Somebody said, "that little wife of mine, I don't see how you love her. All you got to do is get sanctified." My old son-in-law, "I mean, so, all you got to do is get sanctified. That's all you need to do. Ain't daughter, no, ain't sister, ain't brother. No, just get sanctified. That's all you got to do. I just keep working with old brother Pike. He's such and such, I just get sanctified." Amen. When they draw the nails into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, he worked with them on the roof. They hit the nail, and he plunged into the flesh, the pain run through the body, the bones, and he said, "forgive them, Father." Amen. They'll just say, "forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father." You don't know what they do. Forgive them. That's real compassion. What we need is to get sanctified so God can turn to us.